Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Robbie Stanley, on your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5.
And welcome in to another edition of Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley here with you as always as your host. Preds Insiders presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. And we got a whole lot to get to on the program here today. You're going to hear from Predators General Manager-to-be Barry Trotz coming up here in just a few minutes here on the show. We got into a lot of different things with Barry Trotz about the draft coming up, the Predators landing the 15th overall pick in the NHL Draft Lottery, the process and preparing for that. We get to the status of Predators head coach John Hines with Barry Trotz. A lot more to get to with Trotz coming up here in just a few minutes. Predators forward slash Milwaukee Admirals forward Luke Evangelista will join us on the program here today as well. So looking forward to that. Another edition of Keezer's Corner with Nick Keezer coming up to end the show as well. And, man, what a time it is right now with the Predators and with the National Hockey League. We will also, a little bit later in the program, get to the Chicago Blackhawks winning the NHL draft lottery, and with that being having the chance to draft Connor Bedard at number one overall. So a whole lot going on in the hockey world, and we didn't even get to the playoffs in any of that, and we'll get to some of that throughout the show as well. But without any further ado, Predators general manager to be Barry Trotz joined us this morning on Robbie and Rex Road, and we got into several different topics with him. And as he often is, Barry Trotz, very good, very open, and very thoughtful with his comments that he had this morning. And we also got to the future of what his decision looks like on the John Hines front and whether or not there's any update there. So here was the conversation this morning on Robbie and Rex Road with Predators general manager-to-be Barry Trotz. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Barry Trotz. Barry, good morning. How you doing?
Morning, Barry.
Good morning. Good morning.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Barry, we were just talking about the draft. The lottery takes place the other night. You guys land at number 15 overall, and you have another first-round pick with wherever Edmonton finishes. So what's the process been like for you all preparing for the draft and everything that goes along with that to this point?
Well, it's been a really good process, actually. We just started with reevaluating our own draft, where our prospects are, where they are in terms of their development, and some of the look at some of the holes that we may see in the future, maybe in the next 3 or 4 years, in terms of holes that we may be able to address during this draft. So we started with that process, and then the scouts have been really diligent at putting together a master list of the coming draft. So no matter what, I think we're going to get a really good player.
Barry, we're going to have Luke Evangelista coming up a little bit later in the show, and obviously a really exciting series last week for Milwaukee as they take down Manitoba and move on to take on the Texas Stars. What's just kind of been your interest level in terms of the young guys that finished the season with you all that have now gone back down there with Milwaukee, and how important do you think a long run in the AHL playoffs could be for them as they continue to try to kind of form together as that next core for your group?
I think it's going to be really important. I talked about it in my own press conference when I'm looking for serial winners in our organization. It starts in the minor league. It starts in junior. It starts with that. I've learned over my time as a coach that you get players, especially young players who've gone on those long runs, win the Calder Cup in the American Hockey League, a lot of those players are able to take the next step at the National Hockey League level, and then hopefully that core continues to roll on, and hopefully eventually win a Stanley Cup. But it is a huge development tool, if you will, those long runs in the Hockey League, because you're under a lot of pressure, just like you are in the National Hockey League. The players grow; those little plays, those little moments, are so crucial for them to understand so they can have success at the next level.
Barry Trotz with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Barry, you talked about, you know, the status of John Hines at the end of the season press conference, and now he's under contract, but some evaluation still needs to take place. Where are you at in terms of the evaluation of John Hines, and is there any news on what his status looks like for next year?
No, I said at the press conference, I'm going to evaluate. I think John did a terrific job, as I said. When I came on, we sort of moved four players at the trade deadline. He lost eight players to injury, and he continued to, forge on with the group. And what I like about what John did is he just coached the group that he had. And I know John and his staff are good coaches. I sat in their meetings. I listened to them. I understand what they're doing. So with John, I just said, from my perspective, everybody is going to be evaluated, and also I'm going to evaluate other organizations too. So if I can improve in any aspect of our organization, be it coaching or development, I'm going to try to do that. But I can tell you the staff is a really good staff. They know what they're doing, and I have a lot of trust in them.
Barry Trotz joins us right now. Barry, when you look at a guy like Cody Glass, who had to take on a bigger role this year, especially after the trade deadline and different players getting injured, what is something you're looking to see from him in this offseason to hopefully, be a guy who can play a top center position for you someday?
Well, I think with Cody, if you know his history, he's had a number of setbacks as a young player. He had a major knee injury during COVID. And was sort of, here you are, an 18, 19-year-old man. You're in a different country during COVID. You can't go see your family. The ability to get the training that you needed, especially with the injury that he did have, was very minimal. So I think he's a little bit behind in terms of his natural growth curve, but he's catching up very quickly. And what you see with him last year, number one, he started getting his confidence back. Number two, he started to believe in himself and started playing against, I'll say, more regular top-line guys out of necessity, and he fared well. He's over at the World Championships representing Canada, and they had an exhibition game last night, and he got a hat trick. So all those little moments, I can go back to the game in Calgary when we were, he was in a shootout. He was the last guy in the shootout, if you will, season on the line. And he came through. So all those little moments for him are building his confidence. And as he builds his body as a young man, turning into a mature young man, I think you're going to see some real good things from Cody.
Barry Trotz is with us right now. Barry, obviously this is your, first time being in that manager kind of standpoint as you begin your transition into general manager. But, of course, you've coached in this league for so many years. How is this time of the year, May, we're gearing up for the NHL draft that's actually going to be in our backyard here in Nashville. How is this time of year just different from you? You've been a coach in May, kind of the off season, getting ready for the draft. But how is it different from, transitioning into that manager standpoint?
Well, I think as a coach, you just manage the players and you're married to the schedule. And so you have a certain rhythm. I think as a general manager, you're married to the situation. The situation right now is I'm sitting in the meetings with their scouts all day listening to, the different players that they may be looking to draft. As a coach, you don't really do that. You usually come in on the back end when they've already got their list made. You sort of know what your group is going to take in terms of players, because they have them grouped. They have an idea of six, seven players are going to be in that area where they draft. So you sort of come in on the back end. I'm coming in on the front end, watching the whole process, listening to the whole process. So it's just a little different. But at the same time, it's very informative, and I don't think I have enough hours in a day to cover everything some days.
Barry Trotz is with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Barry, the playoffs have been really entertaining to this point, and as you know, as a coach, the game is evolving all the time. When you watch the playoffs now and you look at some of the teams that are having success and trying to visualize what that looks like for your group as you build your team moving forward, how do you think the game has evolved over the course of the past couple of years, and what's most important in your mind now to have success once playoff time rolls around?
Well, I think, the game has gone to obviously a lot more speed and skill. It's a lot younger, and so you see the goals going up. That is twofold, I think. And number one is the players are so skilled now, they can make some tremendous plays, and more players are scoring threats. Two, I think, the players are younger, and because they have such great skill, they trust their skill, but they don't understand sometimes the risk-reward yet, as of maybe a more mature player would. And so there's a few more turnovers, a few more, you're not being patient and just, grinding through the next minute, waiting for your opportunity. I think teams are trying to force things. I watch teams now. There's a lot of blowouts, and I just think what's happening is, from a standpoint, is when a team gets behind, they even get more risky, and all of a sudden it just blows up in their face real quick, because you see goals come, three goals really quickly, because teams try to get it back. If they're down two goals, they're trying to get those two goals back in the next, 2 minutes, rather than, hey, let's just get one, in the next 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes, then we'll get the next one and sort of inch your way, pull yourself back in. They go from being in the game to out of the game very quickly. So that's just patience. That it might be some maturity. That's a puck decision. So that's the price sometimes you pay with young players that are highly skilled.
Well, Barry, really looking forward to the draft coming up. We appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Barry.
All right, take care.
Thanks to Barry Trotz for being with us here on the program. We got a lot to react to on that front. And we'll specifically dive into his comments on the status of John Hines coming up next. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Robbie Stanley, on your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5.
And welcome in to another edition of Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley here with you as always as your host. Preds Insiders presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. And we got a whole lot to get to on the program here today. You're going to hear from Predators general manager-to-be Barry Trotz coming up here in just a few minutes here on the show. We got into a lot of different things with Barry Trotz about the draft coming up, the Predators landing the 15th overall pick in the NHL draft lottery, the process and preparing for that. We get to the status of Predators head coach John Hines with Barry Trotz. A lot more to get to with Trotz coming up here in just a few minutes. Predators forward slash Milwaukee Admirals forward Luke Evangelista will join us on the program here today as well. So looking forward to that. Another edition of Keezer's Corner with Nick Keezer coming up to end the show as well. And, man, what a time it is right now with the Predators and with the National Hockey League. We will also, a little bit later in the program, get to the Chicago Blackhawks winning the NHL draft lottery, and with that being having the chance to draft Connor Bedard at number one overall. So a whole lot going on in the hockey world, and we didn't even get to the playoffs in any of that, and we'll get to some of that throughout the show as well. But without any further ado, Predators general manager to be Barry Trotz joined us this morning on Robbie and Rex Road, and we got into several different topics with him. And as he often is, Barry Trotz, very good, very open, and very thoughtful with his comments that he had this morning. And we also got to the future of what his decision looks like on the John Hines front and whether or not there's any update there. So here was the conversation this morning on Robbie and Rex Road with Predators general manager-to-be Barry Trotz. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Barry Trotz. Barry, good morning. How you doing?
Morning, Barry.
Good morning. Good morning.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Barry, we were just talking about the draft. The lottery takes place the other night. You guys land at number 15 overall. And, You have another first-round pick with wherever Edmonton finishes. So what's the process been like for you all preparing for the draft and everything that goes along with that to this point?
Well, it's been a really good process, actually. We just started with reevaluating our own draft, where our prospects are, where they are in terms of their development, and look at some of the holes that we may see in the future, maybe in the next, three or four years in terms of holes that we may be able to address during this draft. So we started with that process, and then the scouts have been really diligent at putting together a master list of the coming draft. So no matter what, I think we're going to get a really good player.
Barry, we're going to have Luke Evangelista coming up a little bit later in the show, and obviously a really exciting series last week for Milwaukee as they take down Manitoba and move on to take on the Texas Stars. What's just kind of been your interest level in terms of the young guys that finished the season with you all that have now gone back down there with Milwaukee, and how important do you think a long run in the AHL playoffs could be for them as they continue to try to kind of form together as that next core for your group?
I think it's going to be really important. I talked about in my own press conference when I'm looking for serial winners in our organization. It starts in the minor league. It starts in junior. It starts with that. I've learned over my time as a coach that you get players, especially young players who've gone on those long runs, win the Calder Cup in the American Hockey League, a lot of those players are able to take the next step at the National Hockey League level. And then hopefully, that core continues to roll on and hopefully, eventually win a Stanley Cup. But it is a huge development tool, if you will, those long runs in the Hockey League, because you're under a lot of pressure, just like you are in the National Hockey League. The players grow. Those little plays, those little moments are so crucial for them to understand so they can have success at the next level.
Barry Trotz with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Barry, you talked about, the status of John Hines at the end of the season press conference, and now he's under contract, but some evaluation still needs to take place. Where are you at in terms of the evaluation of John Hines, and is there any news on what his status looks like for next year?
No, I said at the press conference, I'm going to evaluate. I think John did a terrific job, as I said. When I came on, we sort of moved four players at the trade deadline. He lost eight players to injury, and he continued to, forge on with the group. And what I like about what John did is he just coached the group that he had. And I know John and his staff are good coaches. I sat in their meetings. I listened to them. I understand what they're doing. So with John, I just said, from my perspective, everybody is going to be evaluated, and also I'm going to evaluate other organizations too. So if I can improve in any aspect of our organization, be it coaching or development, I'm going to try to do that. But I can tell you the staff is a really good staff. They know what they're doing, and I have a lot of trust in them.
Barry Trotz joins us right now. Barry, when you look at a guy like Cody Glass, who had to take on a bigger role this year, especially after the trade deadline and different players getting injured, what is something you're looking to see from him in this offseason to hopefully, be a guy who can play a top center position for you someday?
Well, I think with Cody, if you know his history, he's had a number of setbacks as a young player. He had a major knee injury during COVID. And was sort of, here you are, an 18, 19-year-old man. You're in a different country during COVID. You can't go see your family. The ability to get the training that you needed, especially with the injury that he did have, was very minimal. So I think he's a little bit behind in terms of his natural growth curve, but he's catching up very quickly. And what you see with him last year, number one, he started getting his confidence back. Number two, he started to believe in himself and started playing against, I'll say, more regular top-line guys out of necessity, and he fared well. He's over at the World Championships representing Canada in an exhibition game last night. and he got a hat trick. So all those little moments, I can go back to the game in Calgary when we were, you know, he was in a shootout. He was the last guy in the shootout, if you will, season on the line, and he came through. So all those little moments for him are building his confidence. And as he builds his body as a young man, turning into a you know, mature young man, I think you're going to see some real good things from Cody.
Barry Trotz is with us right now. Barry, obviously this is your, you know, first time being in that manager kind of standpoint as you begin your transition into general manager. But, of course, you've coached in this league for so many years. How is this time of the year, you know, May, we're gearing up for the NHL draft that's actually going to be in our backyard here in Nashville. How is this time of year just different from you? You know, you've been a coach in May, kind of the offseason, getting ready for the draft. But how is it different from, you know, transitioning into that manager standpoint?
Well, I think with, as a coach, you just manage the players and you're married to the schedule. And so you have a certain rhythm. I think with as a general manager, you're married to the situation. The situation right now is I'm sitting in the meetings with their scouts all day listening to, you know, the different players that they may be looking to draft. As a coach, you don't really do that. You usually come in on the back end when they've already got their list made. You know, you sort of know what your group is going to take in terms of players, because they have them grouped. They have an idea of the, you know, 6-7 players are going to be in that area where they draft. So you sort of come in on the back end. I'm coming in on the front end, watching the whole process, listening to the whole process. So it's just a little different. But at the same time, it's very informative, and I don't think I have enough hours in a day to cover everything some days.
Barry Trotz is with us here on Robbie and Rexroad. Barry, the playoffs have been really entertaining to this point, and as you know, as a coach, the game is evolving all the time. When you watch the playoffs now and you look at some of the teams that are having success – and trying to visualize what that looks like for your group as you build your team moving forward, how do you think the game has evolved over the course of the past couple of years, and what's most important in your mind now to have success once playoff time rolls around?
Well, I think, you know, the game has gone to obviously a lot more speed and skill. It's a lot younger, and so you see the goals going up. That is twofold, I think. And number one is, the players are so skilled now, they can make some tremendous plays, and more players are scoring threats. Two, I think, you know, the players are younger, and because they have such great skill, they trust their skill, but they don't understand sometimes the risk-reward yet, as a, maybe a more mature player would. And so there's a few more turnovers, a few more, you know, you're not being patient and just, you know, grinding through the next minute, waiting for your opportunity. I think teams are trying to force things. I watch teams now. There's a lot of blowouts, and I just think what's happening is, from a standpoint, is when a team gets behind, they even get more risky, and all of a sudden it just blows up in their face real quick. As you see goals come, you know, three goals really quickly, as teams try to get it back. If they're down two goals, they're trying to get those two goals back in the next, you know, 2 minutes, rather than, hey, let's just get one, you know, in the next 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes, then we'll get the next one and sort of inch your way, pull yourself back in. They go from being in a game to out of the game very quickly. So that's just patience. That it might be some maturity. That's a puck decision. So that's the price sometimes you pay with young players that are highly skilled.
Well, Barry, really looking forward to the draft coming up. We appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Barry.
All right, take care.
Thanks to Barry Trotz for being with us here on the program. We got a lot to react to on that front, and we'll specifically dive into his comments on the status of John Hines coming up next. You're listening to Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. We caught up with Predators forward / Milwaukee Admirals forward Luke Evangelista this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. Looking ahead to the playoff series coming up for Milwaukee. Milwaukee takes down Manitoba in their first round series. They move on to take on the Texas Stars in the Central Division Final. That's coming up on Friday, Game 1 in Milwaukee. So we talked to Evangelista about that and a host of other different things, including his time here in Nashville to close out the season. Here was that conversation with Predators forward Luke Evangelista. The season is still going on as well for the Milwaukee Admirals. They're taking on the Texas Stars coming up Game 1 on Friday night in the Central Division Final with the Milwaukee Admirals and the Texas Stars. They just came off a great series, very entertaining series against Manitoba, a dramatic win. Spencer Stastny scoring the game winner the other night, and the Admirals moving on to the Central Division Final against the Texas Stars. And to help us talk about that and more, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators forward / Admirals forward Luke Evangelista. Luke, good morning. How are we doing?
Good. How are you doing?
We're awesome.
Good.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Luke, let's just start there. What was that series like from your vantage point against Manitoba? Obviously, a lot of guys that you ended the season with here in Nashville playing up there in Milwaukee in that series. What was that series like, just the ability to bounce back from a 2-1 deficit and get that one done?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it was, you know, as tight as the series is going to get here, you know. I mean, we won it in Game 5 with about, you know, I think it was like 30 or 20 seconds left, something like that. But, I mean, credit to Manitoba. I mean, it was an awesome series. It was back and forth, really tight. Good hockey and intense, you know, in the building and stuff. But, yeah, it was awesome by our group to be able to, you know, respond after being down a little bit there and find a way to win that series. So it was awesome.
Well, Luke, you've been with this group all year, be that in Milwaukee or here in Nashville with a lot of the guys as well. I guess, what have you learned about you guys as a group? A lot of you guys are considered to be maybe that next core of the Nashville Predators coming up together here. What have you learned just about the makeup of the group that you've played with this year?
Yeah, I think a lot of our success as a group just comes from the fact that we love playing with each other, and we love being in the locker room with each other. Like, we're not just good players. We're you know, players that, you know, get along really well and care about each other. And I think when you have a kind of group like that that gels, you know, on the ice but also off the ice, you know, you're destined for success. So I think, you know, just you know, how much we love and care about each other has really helped us, you know, make that extra push at certain times this year, and it's kind of gotten us to where we are today.
Luke Evangelista is on with us right now. Luke, what has it been like to have kind of a core group of you young guys? You were able to, a bunch of you, make the move to the Predators towards the end of the season, have a postseason push, and now that same group of you is back in Milwaukee with a big postseason push. How much has it just helped you guys bond together and just build that chemistry, not only in the locker room but also on the ice?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I always talk about it, you know, even when I got called up to Nashville and, you know, walking in the locker room my first day for my first practice and just seeing a bunch of faces that, you know, I had already played with and I was already really comfortable with on the ice and off the ice. It's really helpful. And then obviously, you know, when you're, you know, you know, spending a whole year, you know, whether it's in Milwaukee or Nashville with those guys and, you know, just creating memories and experiencing that kind of stuff with them, you know, obviously it's going to, you know, gel you and make you that much closer. So it's, I mean, just overall, whether I've been with this group in Milwaukee or Nashville, it's been a blast. And, you know, I've loved playing with these guys.
Has there been anybody in particular you've, you know, just became closer with this year from the transition of Milwaukee to the Preds and back to Milwaukee?
I mean, I could honestly name you like, you know, five, six guys. But I mean, I think, you know, I got to give a shout out to my boy, Kiefer Sherwood. I mean, we played on a line in Nashville and him and his girlfriend let me live with them when we were up in Nashville for a bit too. So he's treated me really well this year and we have a ton of fun playing together. So I'll give a shout out to Woody.
So did Kiefer Sherwood give you a bed? Were you crashing on the couch? And how was it living with him while you were up here in Nashville?
Yeah, he gave me a bedroom. He treated me well. I had the basement to myself, so it was all good. And it was great living with them. They're I mean, first and foremost, they're awesome cooks. So if you're a good cook, you're my good book. So they were great. They treated me really well.
Luke Evangelista with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So Luke, you know, obviously we know what UC Saros brings to the table here in Nashville and how good he is. Yaroslav Askarov down there in Milwaukee, really highly rated prospect. It's been a lot of fun to watch him play this year. both from a talent standpoint and the fact that you never really know what he's going to do out there. What's it been like playing with Askarov, and what's been your impression of him to this point?
I mean, he's fantastic as a goalie, and also, like you said, just an entertainer. I always say, you know, once he gets the NHL and he gets some more eyes on him, I think he's gonna be going viral on social media like once a month or something like that, just for what he's doing on the ice. He's pure entertainment out here, but he's also been, you know, fantastic this year for us. I mean, keeping us in games and, you know, sometimes stealing games for us and just making some unbelievable saves. He's been a joy to watch, and he's a great guy too. He's a pleasure to play with. So yeah, it's been a great year for him.
Luke, a lot of Predators fans obviously are really excited about you specifically and the year that you had at the end of the year here in Nashville. You know, obviously I know your season is still going on and you're focused on Milwaukee right now in the playoff run, but you know, we've talked with you about your confidence level before. How have you handled, I guess, the success that you've had this year? You've been productive at every level that you've ever played at. How have you handled, what's been different about trying to kind of handle that at both the NHL level and the AHL level this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think fortunately, you know, in the NHL and the AHL this year, I've been put in really good positions by the staff, you know, just in terms of, you know, the amount of ice time I'm getting and, you know, guys I'm playing with and, you know, power play time, all that stuff kind of factors into, you know, being productive in terms of, you know, numbers and offensively and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, I mean, honestly, I don't, you know, let it get to my head too much. You always kind of got to perform, and especially in my role, like a part of playing, you know, being that playmaker and being a top six guy is, you know, putting up some numbers and producing offensively for the team. So just part of the job, and, you know, hopefully, you know, I'm able to, you know, keep this, you know, the momentum from this year going and finish strong here and, you know, be able to make Nashville at a camp next year. So I'm just kind of riding the wave right now.
Luke Evangelista joins us right now. Luke, Carl Taylor, you know, I'm sure he was very excited when he got you guys all back from Nashville as you guys began your postseason push. What has it been like, you know, just learning underneath Carl Taylor? And why do you think that he has, you know, been able to successfully prepare you know, Igor Afanasyev and all the other guys who were able to make their NHL debuts this year?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been awesome playing with under Carl this year. I think, you know, first and foremost, he wants to win here. I mean, I think that's one of his biggest messages to us, is that obviously it is, you know, a development league, but you got to learn to win too. So I think that's been a big part of our success this year. And just the fact that, you know, I think he just genuinely really cares about all of us as players and, you know, wants to see us succeed, and he also wants to succeed. You know, he wants to get to that next level, make that next jump. So I think just, yeah, the fact that he really cares about us, and, you know, he's pulling us aside, having one-on-one conversations with us about what we need to do to, you know, make that jump and whatnot. But no, I think he's been great for all of us, all the young guys here in terms of, you know, hopefully getting to the next level.
Is there something specifically you like or think is beneficial just based off of his coaching style? Like, is he a super serious guy out there? Do you guys goof around? Like, what is his coaching style like with you all?
No, he can be serious when he needs to, obviously, like any coach. But, mm-hmm. he loves poking fun with us, you know, whether it's at practice or, you know, video, stuff like that. He's obviously got a lighter side. So, you know, he keeps it loose when he needs to. It keeps it fun. So, it's been great playing with him.
Luke, as we talked about earlier, you've been productive at every step of your career to this point. What have you learned about what it takes to produce and score goals at the NHL level, and just the time and space that you have, and what all goes into scoring goals at the NHL level? What's kind of stood out to you about that?
I think at the NHL level, I was just trying to use my brain a little bit more. You know, I was playing with a guy like Tommy Novak, you know, the guy that's just an elite playmaker, great hands, great vision. If you can find those soft spots for him and get to some open areas, he's going to find you. That's just what he does. So, you know, I think for me, you know, using my IQ and my brain to, you know, kind of feel out where the soft spots are and find some space for him, create some space for him. I think that really helped me this year, and I think honestly, I was scoring more at the NHL level than I was in the AHL. So I think that was a big part of that. And I think that's kind of the key to producing for me personally anyways.
Luke, last thing for you here, obviously the series with Texas starting coming up on Friday, and you guys will start that series off at home. What's the key to advancing and moving on with Texas as things get rolling on Friday in your mind?
Yeah, I mean that's a really good team over there as well. They're a deep lineup, and they play hard. They're a good offensive team. But I think if we can, obviously we still got some video to watch on them, but if we can, manage the puck well and, not fuel their transition offense, I think we'll be good. And we got plenty of skill in our room and plenty of talent to, obviously make some plays out there when they're making mistakes. So I think we can just limit our mistakes and not fuel their offense. I think we'll be good.
Well, Luke, you've been really kind with your time. Really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Good luck coming up against Texas starting this weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Luke.
Awesome. Thank you for having me, guys.
Thanks to Luke Evangelista for being with us here on Preds Insiders. Coming up next, it's time for another edition of Keezer's Corner with Nick Keezer. This is Preds Insiders here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. And it's time for another edition of Keezer's Corner with Nick Keezer. Nick, the floor is yours. Take it away.
Indeed, it is that time, Robbie, for another edition of Keezer's Corner. My name is Nick Keezer, and as we do every week, it's time to hear from the reporter from 102.5 The Game. So glad to be here with you tonight as the NHL playoffs continue. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a recap of what's been going on around the NHL, but also what's to come even tonight and in the coming days across the NHL as we are in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, chasing Lord Stanley's Cup. As always, every offseason, it's the glorious trophy, the hardest to win in sports. And really, one team that's surprising everybody right now is the Florida Panthers, who are very eerily similar to who the Nashville Predators were in 2017 as they made their trip to the Stanley Cup final against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And so when I reflect back on those days, this team is really good on the rush, whereas the Predators, they just gutted out each and every game in the postseason in 2017. And realistically, it's been the Panthers doing somewhat everything similar to that up against the Toronto Maple Leafs in the second round. And the poor Maple Leafs fans have just been joked, basically, of what has been going on here so far. They're down 3-0 to the Florida Panthers, who are perhaps the worst playoff team, but they're surely not playing like it. They were just the betting favorites the other night prior to Game 3 going into it to win the Stanley Cup. So it's no joke that the Florida Panthers are a great team so far. They obviously took down the Boston Bruins, and that was a fun 7-game series. And so when you look back at how that series went down, it was ultimately just a gutsy effort from the Florida Panthers. Like I said, they grinded out games. A lot of their bottom six players were just hard, heavy hitters, and they drove the net. And one big player was Matthew Tkachuk, who is arguably, and if not already, is the best U.S.-born player in the NHL right now. I personally think so. He's been tearing it up, and I remember just one off season ago, before he was traded to the Florida Panthers, there were some rumblings over the summer on if he would possibly join the Nashville Predators via trade, or if it was a new contract, because he would have had to have an offer sheet had he got offered a new deal by the Calgary Flames, but he wasn't. He was traded, and then subsequently he signed a big deal with the Florida Panthers staying there, and they just hosted the All-Star events as well, the game, the skills competition, and now they're in the second round of the postseason in hopes of Lord Stanley's Cup, like I said. And so going back to how Toronto fans feel, they probably don't feel great. And I know our friend Elliot Friedman does not like hearing it from his friends up there. He gets a lot of messages and a lot of phone calls about that each and every game, about how they've been playing, and my goodness, this is just atrocious. This should not be happening whatsoever. Well, it's the postseason. Anything can happen. But staying on track here as far as how that series can go. They are currently underway as you are listening to Preds Insiders tonight. And so we'll wrap up here in a few minutes, obviously, and you can catch that game live. I'm sure that some of our listeners are perhaps either already watching it or they're at least paying attention to it, you know, via Twitter or the NHL app like I do a lot of the time. But it's good to see that a team is coming up out of the ashes or just rising above all of the odds. It's really fun to see that here in the NHL postseason so far. And another series to take a look at is how good of a scoring output has been coming from the Las Vegas Golden Knights. They have been doing quite well against the Edmonton Oilers, who notoriously tear up the Nashville Predators here in the last couple of seasons, albeit it's really been Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid doing his typical thing. And so now you see a Vegas team threatening these Edmonton Oilers as Vegas is now up 2-1 after a 5-1 thumping as Jonathan Marchessault scored his first two goals of the postseason. So that was fun to watch him score his first two goals. When I saw that come up on the screen the other night, I kept thinking, that can't be right. He's obviously done something so far in the postseason, but that's not the case at all. Jonathan Marchessault scored his first two goals just the other night. So glad to see him get on the board. And if you have a guy like him get hot, if you're the Vegas Golden Knights, you've also got Jack Eichel playing there as well. That's a fun series to keep track of. And obviously, the Seattle Kraken are tearing things up too. And now the Kraken and the Golden Knights, when they made their first postseason appearance, they both won their first playoff matchup. And that's something that has never happened in NHL history until this year. So it's fun to see those two teams have a good time in their respective towns and tear it up for their new fans. So, but when you take a look at this series between the Knights and the Oilers, aside from Jonathan Marchessault having a good game, obviously Eichel's been playing well. But the other tidbit that stands out to me that's a storyline is the Oilers' goaltending. Stuart Skinner has been doing what he can to help his team stay alive, but at times I've wondered why they have not started Jack Campbell. Jack Campbell's obviously a more seasoned veteran, but he did not have the season that most fans would have anticipated, especially in the kind of market that Edmonton is. You want to be the number one guy and undoubtedly be that number one guy, but you have a rookie just have a phenomenal season. He goes to the All-Star game, and Stuart Skinner is, in my opinion, and I believe he is a finalist for the Calder Trophy this year for being rookie of the season. And if he wins it, I think he's completely earned that right. So it's fun to see him make some noise this year with the Oilers, but they've not been a good duo so far in this round. I know that last round they kind of struggled as well. So I don't know who they're going to roll with here this evening. If I had to guess, it'll probably be Stuart Skinner, but there's no way to tell here so far. But they'll play here tonight coming up at 9 p.m. against the Vegas Golden Knights. So we'll see if Leon Draisaitl, along with Connor McDavid, can even the series at 2 games apiece before going back to Vegas. You don't want this to be a possible elimination game coming up for you. So obviously, now we switch gears over to Milwaukee. Yep, the AHL team that I get the privilege to talk about because we've got some Nashville Predators playing down there in Milwaukee, making some good noise. And I've got a story coming up on NashvilleHockeyNow.com talking about the Milwaukee Admirals. And just a nugget to pass along here tonight, if you're listening, and I can confirm this after talking to Carl Taylor, is the fact that this is no surprise, obviously, but Yaroslav Askarov is going to start in Game 1 against the Texas Stars. And if you are a devoted fan to the Nashville Predators, and you may have seen this on social media when it first happened, but Yaroslav Askarov got into a goalie fight the last time that he played against the Texas Stars in the regular season. Remy Poirier was the other goaltender that he got into a fight with. They squared off at center ice. They rounded each other just a couple of times. Then they grabbed each other. And then you see Yaroslav try to throw in a quick left jab, but he's not able to get anything in. So that was a fun little nugget of information that I want to throw out there tonight, especially with the fight that they had last time playing against each other. when you're a fan, you want to see some very extra good extracurricular, if I want to throw that out there. I think it's fun to see some fights, and you get to see a lot of different things just kind of happen. And there were two fights credited that evening, but really it was three. You had Askarov going up against Poirier, and so I'm sure we'll see a good goaltending duel in this matchup as well. And just so fans understand how the AHL playoffs work, I'm just going to take you to school here for just a second. So in round one, it's a best of three, which the Admirals did not play in this year. Round two is the division semifinal, which is what the Admirals just played in. That's five games. Round three, which is now against the Texas Stars, that's five games. And then you've got round four, which is the conference final, seven games. And then obviously to win the Calder Trophy, it is seven games. So it's a fun little format. I personally like it, but it really keeps your off season a couple of weeks longer. It's about the same as the NHL realistically, but it is fun to see that format play out for the Milwaukee Admirals. And head coach Carl Taylor has a lot to look forward to. And I know one thing that he talked to me about that I would like to pass along as well. He was really high on the fact that this is a high group that is high on each other. This is just a good morale group that they're excited to work together. They're excited to have their families together. And just, it's the camaraderie that you don't typically have in some organizations from time to time. Not everybody has that across hockey, wherever you are, no matter what league it is. And so he really likes that this team is tight. So being knit tight has been something that Carl really likes. And one major key for him as well is that the dial is always at 50-50. And so it's going to be a dial of 49-51 that you possibly want to have in order to take a few games in this series. So should be a fun one between the Admirals and the Texas Stars, where Carl Taylor was previously an assistant coach. He said about 5 years ago was when he was there, and he's obviously gone on to bigger and greater things and joined the Milwaukee Admirals. And who knows, like Preds fans have speculated for a while, he could join the Nashville Predators possibly in a coaching role. We could see that as soon as this fall and as soon as this series ends. We don't know what Barry Trotz is going to do. It's all speculation to this point, but the Preds and the Admirals are in the right trajectory. And so it's been a pleasure to catch up here with you tonight. My name is Nick Keezer. This has been Keezer's Corner, and we'll keep you locked next week on what's the latest in the NHL postseason and what's going on with the Milwaukee Admirals.
All right, Nick, that's going to do it for another edition of Preds Insiders here on the program. We'll be back next week. Got a whole lot more to discuss as it relates to the Nashville Predators and this offseason. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.